Oblo had managed to load the yacht with a surprising number of amenities. Toiletries, leisure clothes, entertainment cubes, and a cube reader. Music discs and players. Despite the bare bulkheads and naked decks and the lack of furniture, ample bedding and bright-colored pillows made comfortable nooks for lounging and sleeping. Harris asked about the pillows. She could not imagine Oblo sneaking through the docks with big, puffy orange and puce and turquoise pillows under his arms, and he gave her his best innocent glare.
Bare decks get cold, Captain. You know that. And besides, these pillows, they were sort of lying about somewhere.
Somewhere?
Now he stared at the overhead.
Well, to tell you the truth, they belong to someone Meharry and I kind of blame for that girl Amelie's death.
Possibilities ran through Harris's mind, and she settled on the obvious.
That therapist?
He grinned as if he was glad she'd figured it out.
Yeah, she had this big room with lots of pillows in it. All needed cleaning. The cleaners picked them up and delivered them, and we sort of liberated them on the way back.
As a specimen of Oblo's vengeance, this was mild. Harris decided to let it go.
You know it was wrong.
So was getting Amelie killed and Sirkin hurt. It was the least we could do.
About what she'd expected. She managed not to laugh until he was out of her office. So far, the voyage was going well. Skodarin had not protested when she realized they were not, in fact, ferrying the yacht a short distance. She had been glad of a longer job, she said, and she trusted the captain. Harris found that amazing, but then the others were trusting her too. Skodarin got along well with the others, though she was younger by some years than anyone but Sirkin. Harris wondered if that would turn into anything. She couldn't remember what Skodarin's preferences had been, if she'd ever known. Not that it mattered, really, as long as they both did their work. Sirkin she saw on the bridge. She was happily absorbing all Oblo and Gwar could teach her about the new navigational equipment. Hydar reported that Skodarin was as efficient as he remembered. All she had to worry about was the mission itself.
Oh, I just wish there were a way to be sure the crown offer was faked. Then we wouldn't have to bother with this ridiculous rendezvous. What if the prince doesn't show up?
She had never enjoyed covert ops, and didn't now. Petrus ignored that and kept rubbing her shoulders. Oblo had the bridge, with Arkady Janice to second him. Nothing would get by those two. She and Petrus had retired to her cabin, where they turned up the thermostat and lowered the lights so that they could enjoy the rest of the shift out of uniform. Surely this time nothing could interrupt them, not in FTL space.
What kind of job do you think we can get as cover if we need it?
His hands slid lower. She wondered if he really meant to continue a serious conversation, or if this was just another form of teasing. She was almost afraid to try the response she was eager to make. The obstacles to their pleasure had gone far beyond a joke. What would happen this time if they started something? She felt she would die of frustration if they didn't.
Soft side of legal, I expect.
Harris did not meet his eyes and leaned back against him. Maybe he would take the hint and continue without talking about it. Petrus shifted her in his arms, and she quit thinking about future problems. Present pleasure was enough for now. Apparently, he thought so too. He quit asking silly questions. And nothing interrupted them. Though she didn't think of that for some time. But afterwards, they came back to it. A small tramp cargo ship couldn't simply idle along from place to place. It had to have cargo and destinations. Otherwise, as they knew well, the authorities would have questions, backed up with force.
It would be simpler if we had two ships. We could transfer cargo from one to the other as if... What was that?
Her convulsive lurch upset Petrus, who had been curled over watching her stretch. They collided, and then Harris was out of the bed, clutching the sheet, and pointing at the bulkhead above him.
What?
Petrus glared first at her, then at the bulkhead. Then his gaze sharpened.
I don't have any idea.
He edged away from the bulkhead and got off the bed.
It's alive!
Harris was aware that her voice still hadn't returned to normal. The thing was just lighter than the bulkhead, a dull, creamy white, as long as her hand. It had long antennae. She could just see them wiggling.
And there's more than one of them.
Petrus pointed. Out of the crack between the bulkhead and bunk, two more of the things crept. Harris had wrapped the sheet tightly around herself. Now she leaned closer.
Six legs, antennae. You know what it looks like? It looks like an albino...
Something skittered down her leg from under the sheet and tickled her toes as it ran over them.
Cockroach!
She was out of the sheet before she knew it, and across the room. Shuddering, she looked back. Petrus, on one foot, looked around like someone who had forgotten what the other leg was for. Neither of them had anything handy for whapping a cockroach, because ships didn't have cockroaches. Ships were routinely cleaned out before and after each trip. Everyone feared vermin. Petrus was still on one leg like some kind of exotic bird.
Albino cockroaches? What do they eat?
Harris headed for the shower.
I don't know, but they're filthy. It's disgusting. On my ship!
She strode into the shower and bounced back out.
Oh, they're in there too!
Petrus was back on 2 feet, but looked anxious.
They like warmth, I recall. We turned up the heat in here.
Oh, and what if they're all over the ship?
Harris had a nightmare vision of a full-bore inspection arriving to find her and her first officer stark naked amid swarming albino cockroaches. Could she claim they'd eaten her uniform? Petrus shook out his shirt before putting it on.
They probably are, and they probably breed. Where could they have come from? None of us have been out of station quarantine.
That's why the redecorators didn't want us on the ship. They put them here.
But why?
I don't know. But we'd better find out. Maybe they're used in some stage of the redecorating process.
Petrus shook out his shoes one by one before putting them on.
That can't be legal. It's against all the regulations I ever heard of to have biologicals on a station or a ship, except for the registered ones like you told me Lady Cecilia had.
Harris checked her own clothes carefully before getting back into them.
I wonder. At least now we have a cargo.
These? They're not cargo. They're a reason to quarantine us.
Yes, but let's assume the decorators keep them and put them here. That means they're valuable to the decorators. That might mean they're valuable to another firm doing the same work somewhere else.
I don't see how. First, we'd have to catch them, confine them somewhere, take care of them. We don't even know what they're for.
Can you catch one?
Harris pointed to the cluster that still clung to the bulkhead over the bunk.
Me?
He looked at her. She looked back, pointedly.
Oh, all right. If they're poisonous or something, though, you better figure out how to save my life, or I'll haunt you.
I should figure out first what to keep it in. Let me think. Something in the galley should hold it. And we'll turn the temperature down in case they're more active in warmth. If I remember, most insects are.
Once clothed, she found the pale cockroaches just as disgusting, but less frightening. If they attacked, they'd hit her clothes and not her skin. She shuddered, remembering the touch of those legs. With the thermostat down, she had an excuse for shivering.
I suppose you want me to stay here while you fetch a cage?
I can stay. Get a food container with a tight lid, except we'll have to ventilate it somehow. I wonder what size holes these things can crawl through.
He came back with a canister whose top had a dozen perforations. Harris wondered why. Then it occurred to her it looked like a giant salt shaker. Perhaps that was how Cecilia's cook had covered pastry with powdered sugar.
We had similar things back home.
Petrus smacked the open end of the canister down over the nearest cockroach and carefully slid a flat piece of metal under it to trap it.
Farmers hate them, too. They eat crops, clothing, pillows, rugs.
Rugs? Like the carpet that used to be here?
Yes, they ate holes in rugs. And upholstery, old-fashioned books, too, especially the bindings. My uncle said it was the glue. And they'd make a mess of data cubes left lying around, even though they couldn't eat them. They'd leave their mess on them, which glopped up the cube readers. Why?
Because that may be why the decorators have them. I hadn't really thought about it, but the stuff the decorators take out of a ship, all the wall coverings and carpet and upholstery, has to go somewhere. They'd have to pay to have it processed in the station recycler, and then they'd have to pay to replace that with new material, imported or fabricated, either one. Let me run the figures.
This was something she could work out when she thought of it. And the specifications were in the contract she'd brought along. She called them up.
Look, here's an estimate of square meters times minimum thickness of carpet, of wall covering, of upholstery, which comes to...
She looked at the volume result.
And they're required to give chemical composition, organics, so in case anything's volatile, what kind of outgassing the ship's environmentals will have to handle. Interesting.
What?
If they're honest, given the density and composition, the volume of material they'd have to have processed on station or transport would cost them...
She called in the financial subroutines.
Too much? Plus replacement. I'll figure that both ways. Local processing and importation. No, three ways. From planetary sources and importation from more distant sources.
The result exceeded the bid on Cecilia's job.
Well, it can't be. You've made a mistake somewhere.
I might have. But if I didn't, and if these disgusting insects were put here for a reason, and if they eat rugs and pillows and upholstery...
Well, they eat them. It might be cheaper to have them gobble up the client's old stuff, but unless they can be cooked into delicious banquet meals, I don't see how that helps. Unless, of course, they're cooked into something else. The new furnishings.
That's sick. Besides, how could you get them all back out?
Well, it would explain why they risk breaking the vermin laws if it did work.
And it gives us something to sell. Both the information and the, samples.
It certainly establishes us as outlaws. Selling vermin, carrying them loose on a spaceship.
Not loose if we can capture them. I don't want any more surprises.